One pair of hands on the mountains, one pair of hands on the sea, one pair of hands made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands on the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
everybody, this is Pastor Buddy, and we're joining you live tonight, right here around the world on WWRB 3.185, and we're certainly glad to have you in here tonight. We got a great program for you, part one of Trailing the Serpent, tonight on Friday night. We're live around the world, Trailing the Serpent. Now, how do we trail the serpent? We get the scriptures, and the Bible says it is written, and by the written page, we'll find out just exactly who the serpent is, what his plans are, what he's done in the past, what he's doing in the present, and what he's got planned for the future. The word is forever settled in heaven. Nothing can be added to it, and certainly nothing taken away. We appreciate you tonight listening in, and we're going to begin a brand new series, like I said. And tonight, we're going into the wonderful revelation of 14 and 1. We're going to find what Satan done to 144 little children as they were in this world, and they were pronounced a death sentence upon them through Satan. Now, by Satan being a liar and a father of it, ladies and gentlemen, we know one thing for sure, that he come to kill, and he come to steal, and he come to destroy. Well, if that's the truth, we're going to find out how he destroyed 144,000. Have you ever wondered in the Bible where it speaks about 144,000 that were Yahweh's children, and how that they processed through the system, and that Satan brought death for sure? He brought death to 144,000 people. Well, and these are little children. The Bible will tell you exactly who they are. And the Bible is very distinct in telling you that Satan, he brought the death and the destruction of someone in the earth, the 144,000, pre-chosen, we believe, from the foundation of the world. And the fact is that Satan and his angels, who look for a way to destroy the holy seed of Yahweh. Now, by destroying the seed, he had a plan that he would rise up with his throne and with his angels, and he would rule over the Most High. But it wasn't to be. Yahweh pre-positioned these 144,000 that we're going to find out tonight. If you are a worshiper of Yahweh and you love mysteries and intrigue, you're going to love tonight's message. And I hope that we can cover the whole hour in the Revelation of 14 and 1. Now, let me begin to read here. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. Now, there's a sermon right there. Having the Father's name, a lamb with 144,000. Now, who are they? They've got the Father's name written. Was this name written in their forehead before the foundation of the world? Well, I would think so. Well, do you believe that as Jeremiah was, even so are we in the world? Yahweh had to remind Jeremiah when he began to complain about all of his inadequacies. And we've all got them. We like to murmur. We like to complain. And we're very easy to get disheartened when trouble comes. But listen to this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh will deliver them out of them all. If you've got the Father's name, not names, you don't have two names, ladies and gentlemen. There's only one name that is worthy to call upon, and this name is the name of salvation. Acts 4:11 and 12 said there's none other. Now, if the Father's got two names, then there's a divided house, and you can't serve two masters. So then, the Father's name, not Jesus, not Yeshua, that's not the Father's name. The Father's name, 6,823 times alone in the Bible, his name is Yahweh. The Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, the four sacred letters, which in the Greek literature of the Bible, the Greek version of the Bible, is called Tetragrammaton. That means four sacred letters. Now, I gave you the illustration of how that you could identify the Father's name. You can put on the stethoscope and hold it on your chest and clear the air in your lungs and breathe in, inhale, and then exhale. You got to go to hell where the Messiah went. You got to go through tribulation, and you got to go through torment. These 144,000 went through enormous tribulation. Now, you say, well, Pastor, but the tribulation is yet to come. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me explain something to you. I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. Oh, now, this is a heavenly congregation when you look at the four beasts. That is the polar extent of east, west, north, and south, and even in heaven, the elders, the 144,000, and the Lamb sung, as it were, a new song. But the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth, who were all live. Now, the 144,000, do you believe that they were all males? Does the Bible confirm that? Well, right here in 26:19, it is a prophetic prophecy of the great prophet Isaiah. Not Isaiah Word or Isaiah G. Isaiah. Well, I like to make a devil mad with that. Because the devil is a liar, and we're trailing him tonight, and we're on his trail, and who knows how many ways that we have to go to find the devil hid behind one of these little old fox trails that he lays, these little snares that he lays. He lays in wait to kill. That was his mission, to kill these 144,000. Why? Because these were the bride type that are going to prophetically, according to Isaiah, wake and sing. Now, the question is for you, and you figure out this great mystery. Did the 144,000, did they awake at some time in the future? You say, well, of course they're going to raise in the resurrection, Pastor Buddy. Then there's going to be 1,000 years. And then Christ is going to come back and he's going to raise the rest of the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't read that. That sounds good for the rapture people. It sounds good for them that preach 3 resurrections. The problem is, they just can't read it. Now, the Bible says that they will be people that will love to have their ears tickled with something very, very exciting to look forward to. You're going to be very disappointed if you're looking for a rapture. You're going to be disappointed if you think that you're going to be raptured out before the second resurrection. You say, well, no, I'm going to go out in the first one. I don't think so. In the first resurrection, there was only 144,000 people that resurrected in the first resurrection. We're going to prove that to you. And right here in Isaiah 26:19 is the fabulous, wonderful, joy unspeakable, full of glory of the revelation that come from this Isaiah. Oh my, what a mighty one. Did you know that they cut his body and sawed it asunder and sent it throughout Israel? You say, well, yeah, the enemy killed him. Ladies and gentlemen, the foes will be those of your own household. It was the sons of Israel that decided to kill this major prophet, Isaiah. He was called by the name of the Mighty One, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His name is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Come, awake, and sing. Awake now, these souls that we're going to talk about were asleep. And they're going to get up and they're going to sing. Well, didn't we just read there in verse 1, 2, and 3 of Revelation? And they sung, they are the males, thy dead men, together with my dead body. Now, I've got a question for you. And this is the $64 question that every man, woman, and child is required to answer. Has there been one resurrection? You say, oh, yes. Yeah, the mighty God. Yeah, he come up out of that grave, glory to God. And that's all. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I got news for you. He was with a mighty host that came out. We're going to read that just in a minute. Thy dead men shall live together with my dead body, shall they arise. In the first resurrection, it had to be these that arose. It had to be these that would sing a new song. It had to be these 144,000 with the Father's name written in their forehead. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, you can believe a lie and you can go to hell. Or you can believe a truth and go through hell to get to heaven. Because the devil, his angels, and even your own household will be your worst enemy. Now, I can handle the fight of the devil. I can handle the fight of the enemy. But when your own blood, your own believers claiming to be men and women of Yahweh, these are your most likely enemies that will cut you to your heart. Paul said, I wish. Now remember, Paul was a genuine, unadulterated Benjamite out of the house of Benjamin. It was the Benjamites that Yahweh chose when he came to collect the 12 disciples that he chose. And one of them was a devil. Now we're trailing the devil tonight, and we're going to show you that these that awoke and sung a song that dwelled in the dust. In other words, they were dead. Now my question goes back in this respect. Who was the first ones, men, all males, I'll put it that way, to leave it open to you to discern who they were? They were all males, and they were slain as they lived a short time upon the earth. Now, who were they? Well, Isaiah, he said, awake and sing, you that dwell in the dust, for the dew is as the dew of herbs. Now, that is a symbolic language of life regenerated into their bodies. My. In the book of Matthew, chapter 26 and verse 59, it says that many awoke and came out of their graves after his resurrection. Now that's the first resurrection. These are the dead children that Herod killed in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, when he went in anger, when he went in frustration, when he was aggravated that he'd been deceived by the wise men, as they were to come back and report to Herod the Edomite henchmen the slaughter of the righteous, the slayer of Rachel's children. And he was angry. And so then, listen to the rest of Isaiah's prophecy. Come, my people. They were all Yahweh's children with their names. They had done no wrong. They had done no guile. They had not known a woman, meaning that there were male children, 2 years old and down. Herod put forth the bloody sword of Satan as we trace him and his evil deeds, because we know that the Bible declares that he's a killer. He's a stealer. He stole the little babies out of the house of Rachel, and he killed them, and she wept bitter tears and would not be comforted, because she could not be comforted because of the great slaughter that the Herod the Edomite, that professing Jew that was a liar, a killer, and a stiller killed these little babies. And the earth shall give up the dead in the first resurrection. Blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, you have a part in that in a spiritual sense. You didn't have a part in that in the physical. Only 144,000 who were slain at the birth. Just as soon as the Messiah was born, and it was noted by the astronomers. The wise men who came from the east. That is symbolic of the Messiah, the Son, the S-O-N, rising from the east as does the sun. And so then, he had wise men living outside of Israel proper. And they came and they announced by the stars and the charts and the signs and the mysteries and the elements and the prophecies. They were confirming Isaiah 26:19. They knew that there was a son to be born, to die. And after the death, the resurrection. Death couldn't keep him in the ground, ladies and gentlemen. He was powered, destined to raise from the dead. And he was destined to take his bride. A lot of people are misunderstanding. They think that in the second resurrection, when Christ re-returns in the future, at some point in the future, no man knows the day, no man knows the hour. However, you shall know by the signs and the mysteries, for they are given to you, and they're not given to the world to understand. Come. Verse 20. Isaiah 26, come, my children, enter thou unto thy chambers. Did the Holy Spirit know that the serpent, as we trail him through the pages of history and the books of the Bible, did he know that he was going to kill? Well, somebody knew it. The prophet Isaiah knew it. The book of Revelations noted it. The Messiah himself knew it. And so then, these things are revealed to the babes. Oh my. The 144,000 little babies that were snatched from the arms, the loving arms, of the parents of the house of Israel. Satan knew that he would wreak havoc trying to kill the little baby that was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. And as Isaiah described it in the 7th chapter of the book of Isaiah, 7:14, he shall come forth, and they, the prophets, the believers, the receivers, shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Which in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 23 says, being interpreted, that is, God with us, unto us, a son is born. Unto us, a king is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. His name alone, no other name, shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't make it any plainer for you to let you know that the earth was reaped in the first resurrection at the resurrection of the Messiah who was slain from the foundation of the world. And it was written in the book of John, in chapter 3, starting around verse 28 and 29, that John recognized this man, this mighty one, who came as a bridegroom. Ladies and gentlemen, if he didn't take him a bride out of the first resurrection, then he got jilted by the devil and stood up at the altar without a bride. And if you believe that, I've got oceanfront property for you down in Arizona. Shut the chambers and shut the doors to the chambers about thee. Hide thyself as it were for a little moment. Did you know it was only 30 years approximately that these saints, these little children that were beheaded by Herod? And ladies and gentlemen, one of the most amazing and astonishing things that I can reveal to you is that they did not waste the blood of the Galileans that they slayed up in the north country of Galilee. It was Rachel's children from Galilee that were weeping. Ladies and gentlemen, they did not waste one drop of the blood when they cut their throats, these little children. When they cut their throats, they bled their blood into a wine vat. And these wineskins were filled with the blood of the Galileans. This is incredible revelation for you tonight. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, what in the world would they do with the blood? Well, they would eat it. You say, oh, my God, how prophetic can you be, preacher? Ladies and gentlemen, if you would go to Luke chapter 13, and read verse 1, it will confirm what Pastor Buddy is revealing to you in a mystery of the Spirit. Hear what the Spirit said. And when it was known and told the Messiah, and remember, the Messiah was nearing his death. When he was told that the King Herod had slayed these children and collected their blood and took it to the temple. You think this was a holy temple? You people that believe that Jerusalem, the place of Herod's temple, if you believe that was a holy place, I do believe that you are in for one of the greatest jolts at the judgment seat, even if you make it there. You're going to be turned away and hear him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. In 13 and 1, it says that they collected the blood of the Galileans. They didn't collect the blood of the Romans. They were under the Roman jurisdiction. They didn't collect the blood of the Edomite Jews. They were safe down in Judah. Even Christ, who rose in the first resurrection with 144,000, would not walk in the serpentine territory of Satan. And we're revealing his steps was to avoid walking in Judea because they had a warrant to slay him, to kill him, to shed his blood like they shed the blood of the 144,000 little infants and saved their blood. You say, well, why in the world would they pour blood upon the sacrifices? That's meat down at the temple. Well, every time you go to the meat market if you don't kosher your meat, that means drain the blood. Because the Bible said it's a condemning sin to eat the meat with the blood in it. One of the most less blooded meats is lamb. They killed the lambs of Yahweh in flesh bodies. The children of Galilee, they hated and despised the Galileans. That's why that the Messiah himself was not born down in Bethlehem, Judea, as the lying pen of the scribes has said. As we trail the serpent through this series, you're going to find it out, without a doubt. And we ain't taking no prisoners either. We're not going to change any of the truth of this word. And listen to this. Shut the doors. Hide yourself for a moment. Until the indignation be overpassed. Second resurrection, they could feel no more pain. Listen to this. For behold, Yahweh cometh out of his place. Remember, together with my dead body shall they arise, it says in 26:19. Together with my dead body shall these arise. Who were these that came out of the graves after his resurrection? You can't deny it. Somebody got up with him in the first resurrection. You'll get up with him if you belong to him in the second resurrection. If you have a part in the first resurrection, you can guarantee that you'll have a part in the second, because your name also, just like the 144,000, just like Jeremiah in chapter 1 of the book of Jeremiah, called before the foundation of the world, chosen as a preacher before he was ever in his mother's belly. Don't tell me that you didn't pre-exist. Don't tell me that Yahweh don't know his sheep. Don't tell me that his sheep, when they hear the voice of the shepherd, they'll know his voice. These are they which were not defiled with women. They were male children, 2 years old and down. For they are virgins. They had never had a sexual encounter. These are they which follow the Lamb. They are on Revelations 14 and 1. These are the fruits. Listen to this, that tells you. Oh my. These were redeemed from among men. Then, not the second fruits, not the third fruits of these lying rapture theory people, but then the first fruits unto God, the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. These were all beheaded. Ooh, hallelujah. And their blood, according to Luke 13 and 1, was collected in wine vats, skins, wine skins, poured liberally. Oh man, these Edomite Jews who loved juicy, bloody meat. These vampires that have eaten the blood of the righteous and wiped their mouth like a whore after she's went out and committed sin and says they've done no wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, in Revelations 24, listen as we continue the mystery, as we trail the serpent, as he hunted down the 144,000 and killed them, collected their blood in wineskins, took it and deposited it in the temple, and the Edomite priest, these so-called that call themselves priests of Yahweh. Yahweh knew that they wouldn't know ark down there for them to pour the blood on. Matter of fact, they didn't pour the blood on the ark. They poured it on the meat offerings. 13 and 1 Luke, read it and weep. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. There you go, 144,000 Herod beheaded. The little children, they died. They laid in the tombs, their grave, and 30 years later, the Messiah killed likewise. And after he went and preached to the souls, it was dissipated in the days of Noah. He had something on his mind. He had his bride. He had Israel wrapped around his heartstrings. And the very heartbeat of his resurrection said, I'll rise again with all power in heaven and earth. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Father. Again, Revelations 14:1. I saw the Lamb with 144,000 with the Father's name. In the book of St. John, chapter 17, verse 6, he had to tell them what the Father's name was, for they had forgotten the Father's name for Baal. Even Peter and James and John, the fishermen and the chosen ones, they had never heard, and let alone speak it out in a verbal ear, where the Jews who had decided it was too holy to pronounce. And ladies and gentlemen, there they forbid the usage of the name and the Messiah openly. Could he deny himself? I don't think so. You say, yes, but Pastor Buddy, he wasn't Yahweh. Well, why don't you just haul off and get up some steam and some intestinal fortitude and quit believing the lies of the serpent in the serpent's den of the churches? Why don't you just go to St. John 10 and verse 30 and verse 31 and verse 32 and verse 33 and see if he would in Yahweh. Did you know that they tried to kill him right there when he made himself Yahweh? When he declared openly, unashamedly, brazenly, and boldly, he spoke his own word with power and conviction. And the people were amazed at his boldness. They were astonished at his doctrine. I saw thrones, Revelation 20:4. Here's your key, ladies and gentlemen. I saw thrones and they that sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. All these are killed now. Beheaded. For the witness. These are the first ones that were beheaded for the witness of Yahweh, Yeshua, in a flesh body. And for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, and neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Is 1,000 years continuing today? Yes, they are. You say, well, Pastor, but it can't be because it's already been over 2,000 years. Remember, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. No man knows the time. And if you think you've got it figured out, you're going by man's calendar, the Roman in particular, you better think again. You better study to show yourself approved workman that needeth not be shamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And these follow the Lamb, Revelation 14:4. And these are they which were not defiled with women. They follow the Lamb where he goes. And these were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw a thrones, and they sat upon each of them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. 144. This is a symbolic figure of the holy number of 12, multiplied times 12, it's a confirmation, 12 times 12, and neither have received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with him 1,000 years. Matthew 2:16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked, of the wise man was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all of the male children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof. Bethlehem, where? Judea? I don't think so. You think Herod, who was a Judite, you think that he would kill the people in Judah? I don't think so, do you? Bible says it was Rachel's children. He went to Bethlehem Ephratah. We're going to get into that message real hot and heavy in the coming week. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take no prisoners this message. We're going to really bear down, improve, put up or shut up, get in or get out, get up or get down, get on or get off, get hot or get cold. This was fulfilled according to the time spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted. You can see that he went north. He knew that he was an Israelite. He knew that he was a Galilean. He knew that because the prophecy said so. The lying scribes in Matthew 2 lied. But, Herod knew they were lying, because he didn't go down to Bethlehem, Judea, and kill everybody down there. He went up north into Bethlehem Ephratah, and he killed all of the male children in the province throughout the coast. And a great weeping. Rachel weeping for her children would not be comforted because they were killed. The 144,000 were all Israelite male children beheaded and redeemed from the earth in the first resurrection, sealed with the seal of the living God. Now, let's see the 144,000 chosen in the first resurrection being sealed and raised. Listen to this. Revelation chapter 7, verse 2 through 4. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. Right here's where the 144,000 were sealed, and the seal was the Father's name in their forehead, according to Revelation 14 and 1. Cry with a loud voice as he addressed the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not. In other words, delay the judgment. Yeah, the earthquake, there's a great earthquake. There was darkness on the face of the earth. It was Rachel weeping for her children. It was the Messiah, a Galilean himself, who was slain by the evil Edomites, call himself Jews and are not, but are liars, and the father of it, Revelations 2 and 9 and 3 and 9, of course. Till we have sealed, hurt not. Don't bother nobody. Let them eat. Let them drink. Let them be merry. Let them lie. Let them steal. Let them kill. Let them prosper. Let them cast the truth to the ground between the second resurrection back in the time period of the first, which is called a period of 1,000 years. And then after that, Satan is going to be loosed out of his prison for a short season. And he's going to go about together. Ladies and gentlemen, we are so perilously close to this day. We are at the very edge of eternity. Where are you going to stand in the day when he cries with a loud voice to the four angels, hurt not, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads? Again, the seal is the name of Yahweh. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, with him 144,000 having his father's name written in their foreheads. The seal of the living God in the first resurrection, where the winds of life or death did not blow, where time stood still for an instant. And as we go back to the book of Matthew chapter 26, we find again that the Messiah was seen in the Spirit raising from the dead, a perfect type of a husband. And he came out of the grave after his resurrection. There came 144,000 of those that walked, not in the old Jerusalem, as most people are foolishly believing, in a carnal set mind of traditional concrete, as they've been lied to and growed up lying to, and I believe a lie to be damned, who don't have the intestinal fortitude or the grit in their crawl to separate from wife, children, or yea, even their own life, to believe this truth, which will set you free or make you free of all this tradition. Again, we have of the tribe of Gad, still 12,000, of the tribe of Asher, were still 12,000, of the tribe of Naphtalim, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin, were sealed 12,000. Ladies and gentlemen, his name was in their forehead. It's very clear in the Bible that Christ came to the earth as a bridegroom to get his bride, as I told you in John chapter 3, verse 29, 30, and 31. John cried out, "Here is the bridegroom that has the bride." Now, folks, if he didn't get his bride, you think I'm preaching something, "Oh, you know, Pastor Buddy, I just don't believe that. I never heard that preached before." Just because that you've not heard the truth. I know a sheep will hear it, but a wolf, he'll snarl. He'll stiffen his neck. Pride will lift up in his heart. His tradition will block him from the truth, because they're not the sheep. My sheep, who are called by my name, will hear my voice. You hear not because you're not my sheep. A man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. "You yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ." This is John chapter 3, verse 28. "But that I am sent before him, he," verse 29, "he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, and rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore, is fulfilled, because of the bridegroom's voice, who said to his wife," he married Israel in the first resurrection, he raised them from the grave by the power of the written authority and the seal that was in their forehead, by the mighty, magnanimous, magnificent, most holy name of Yahweh. Breathe in. Can you deny even nature itself that he is the breath that we breathe into our lungs, and he's near you, near your mouth? Will you not confess the truth? Have you gone off on a rabbit trail with the Satan who we're trailing tonight and revealing of his evil deeds, even drunk the blood on the meat sacrifices that the Levites of Judah were preparing? They saturated this. Well, I guarantee them big, fat, pot-bellied Edomite Jews, I believe that they seared them steaks, and they were sizzling with the blood of the Galileans, and they ate till they were filled, till they vomited out their nose. And the Bible says they want blood to eat. He said, I'll give them blood. More blood. They will gorge on it. It will run out their nose like the quail that ran out of the lusty nose of a hard-headed, stiff-necked, uncircumcised Israelites who couldn't trust Yahweh for the holy bread as he baked it each day. Gave them a double portion on the sixth day and commanded them not to gather any on the seventh. Them hard-headed, stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and mind, defied Yahweh and were destroyed by the serpents in the wilderness. Just like today, the serpents are devouring everything that is holy. They eat the holy bread, wipe their mouth, commit adultery and miscegenation and fornication, and say they've done no wrong, as they teach in the pulpits of these false churches who are calling upon Jesus and denying the name of the Father who is Yahweh. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power from such turn away. And in doing so, you might find, if so be, that the grace and the anointing of Yahweh could rest upon you if you become man enough to eat this bread. If you become man enough to drink this drink. If you stand in the gap. If you make up the hedge. If you're called and chosen before the foundation of the world, just like the increase that I will increase. He that cometh from above is above all. Satan, you would have no power at all against Yahweh's children except that which is given to you. You better work while it's your time, because the day's coming when your day will be cut off. He that hath the bridegroom, he that is the bridegroom has the bride. John 3:29. But the friend of the bridegroom, which was John, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. And this is my joy fulfilled. He knew that he was going to have a hope in that first resurrection. And so help me, ladies and gentlemen, in the book of Matthew, right before the impending death, that this man John, who had been had his head cut off, believe it or not, stood with Moses up on Mount Gerizim in the Tabernacle Festival right before the coming Passover of the spring, where he would be killed in the second Passover and become a victim of the Edomite Herods, who demanded his blood. I wonder what they'd done with his blood. No doubt they saved it and shook it and look at, watched it bead like fine wine as they opened their mouth and drunk his very blood. These Edomite demons and devils, as we trail the serpent, ladies and gentlemen, it gets very ugly. 62:5, Isaiah. As a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall your sons, Israel, shall marry you, bridegroom. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall God rejoice over you. For thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel, oh my, behold, I will cause to cease out of this place and in your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom. He said, there'll be a day that you will seek me, but you won't find me. And the voice of the bride, she's in heaven with the bridegroom. They're waiting until the appointed time for the second and the final resurrection, when he comes back with power and great glory. Then shall all of those who remain be transformed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And there shall they be with Yahweh forevermore. And even those who have gone on, those that remain, the enemy shall not prevent them. For Yahweh, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, shall bring them with him. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 concerning the resurrection. Everybody's waiting on the graveyard to empty out. Ladies and gentlemen, you are the graveyard. Your body, your temple is a walking sepulchre. But if you've got Yahweh, when you die, you go with him. Just that instant, you're not there in the tomb. You're not there in a lonesome graveyard. You have risen. And you are in the king's chamber, waiting on the portals of heaven for him to say, it's time, it's finished, it's the last call. Load up, and let's go to earth in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not his gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, his gospel is forever settled in heaven. Nothing can be added to it, and certainly nothing can be taken away. Aren't you glad that you know him that says, vengeance is mine? I will repay. But ladies and gentlemen, it is a foregone conclusion with this old prophet that Yahweh knows them that are his. Precious. As it says in Psalms 116, in the sight of Yahweh is the death of his saints. These 144,000, these marvelous little children who had done no guile, who were all males, who had not known a woman, these perfect little bride type, laid in the grave for about 30 years. And listen to this revelation, and I'll leave you with this thought. 30 years is the age of the priest. They all became priests and kings to him, his bride. They're now in heaven with him as a bride type. And they're going to come back with vengeance. They're going to demand vengeance. How long, Yahweh, will you not avenge our blood? And those pot-bellied Pharisees and scribes and evil Edomites who claim to be Jews and are not, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for the wrath where the eagles are gathered together to drink their blood as they flee for their life, and for the rocks and the mountains as they cry out mightily for them to hide them from his face. You know what face it is? The face of Yahweh is the face of the Messiah. He was Yahweh in the flesh, reconciling the world unto himself. You got my message tonight, part one of Trailing the Serpent. I'll be back here tomorrow night with part two. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary and Brother Paul. We want you to patronize our suppliers and our supporters. And I would like to take this opportunity to thank all those who love me and send me tithes every month or every week or every time that I come across your heart. I thank Yahweh for you for holding my hands up and supporting my message tonight in the name of Yahweh. I'll see you tomorrow night around the world on the transmitting jewel of the South, WRB 3.185. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a serious matter that we want you to pray about tonight and pray for Yahweh's will to be done, and that's the main thing, that our voice could go out on more radio stations where we could be heard around the world. Not just on WWRB, the transmitting jewel, the host that we have here, which is a marvelous radio station, but other invitations have come our way. We're just pressed for time, as we're on 5 nights a week, you pray about this important subject tonight, that if we are to take more radio time, you ask Yahweh to give us a sign, and we'll do that. Until tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, I'll see you then on www.